Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Final hour. Coming down a home stretch. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, here on The Fan in New York, New Jersey. And we're coming from our Rocket Studios, the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Challenging times, Rocket Mortgage prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. 855-212-4227. It's 1-855-212-4CBS. Tiki and Tierney here, fourth hour, CBS Sports Radio. Usually hear us Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 Eastern, across the country, simulcast on the TV, CBS Sports Network, radio.com. So if you heard us for the first time saying, I kind of like these guys, check us out during the week, 3 to 6 Eastern across the country. Right, Teague?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're better during the week.
We say we're more focused during the week?
Exactly. You know, it's Saturday. It's like, it's Friday, you ain't got no job coming. Mm-hmm. What else you got to do? Saturday, we're like, hey, we got a Saturday job today?
yep. By the way, as I was plotting my escape out to the range plan, damn clouds are getting darker.
Yeah, I don't think it's coming, though. I mean, BT and I, for those who don't know, we're both in New Jersey. We're only about, I don't know, 8 miles, 12 miles apart. I think you're going to be all right, dude. These don't look like, they don't look like dangerous clouds.
No, I've seen far more ominous ones.
Yeah,
in my,
you might get a little spitting on you, but
yeah, that's okay.
That's okay. Exactly.
Better than hearing yelling and screams from kids and spitting on. They'll be spitting on me instead. All right, let's get this. Let's spit a little Jamal Adams right now.
Ooh.
This is a situation that's becoming real interesting, real fast. Because the storylines aren't dissipating. They're not dying down. The smoke is not lessening. It's getting wider and more visible. And there was smoke about, you know, Jamal Adams not being happy, you know, Joe Douglas taking some phone calls, Dallas, whatever they reportedly offered, and that kind of rubbed Jamal Adams the wrong way. Here's the bottom line with this. Jamal Adams is not a good player. Jamal Adams is a great player. And Teague, you know, yep. And I, you know, for those who don't know me, I preface it, I do not use the word great, nor do you. I do not use the word great a lot. I save it where it's reserved to, he's a great player, he's a good player. This guy, this young man, is a great football player with a great passion for the game, with a skill set to match, with an IQ that is through the roof. He hits, he makes plays, he disrupts, he's accountable, he's a tone setter. He's everything you want, okay? The problem is he's a safety.
Yeah.
And that's only problematic when he makes it a problem. Like, he's got 2 years to go on his contract. Now, they picked up the fifth-year option.
Yes.
He's got years to go on his contract.
Yep, his fourth year and his fifth year, which they've already picked up.
They picked up, and rightfully so. It's a no-brainer. Of course, he's underpaid right now. But, you know, Jet fans, I think, are getting a little antsy. Like, and I'm hearing a lot of Jet fans saying, pay him. I think to pay him right now would be so irresponsible that that's the last thing you do. You don't pay him right now.
No.
There's no need to.
You can't pay him right now as much as I think you should because he deserves to be and he wants to be a Jet for life. And all he had to do, by the way, is not make this public, and it might have gotten done because we've seen players get paid. It's very rare, especially if you are a top 10 pick in the NFL because teams have you, you know, basically till for 5 years. If you're taken in the top 5, if top 10, I should say, they got you because they got the fifth year option. They're it's incentivized enough so that you can't say, man, you're grossly underpaid because you were like, say, the 30th pick and your fifth year option is, you know, peanuts, right? Because it's based on a different formula than the top 10. If you're in the top 10, they've got you. And right now, they've got Jamal Adams. They got him this year on his rookie deal. He's making $3.5 million. They got him on the fifth year option next year, which will be about $9.5 million. And then they have him in the franchise tag, which is going to be, I don't know, 12 or 13 probably by that point. Or so. So they have him for three seasons, meaning he has zero leverage. Now, in certain cases, like Christian McCaffrey, they will buy out your fourth year, fifth year, and give you a long-term extension. But Christian McCaffrey is a different – it's a different situation because the Carolina Panthers are poised to be competitive, and maybe he's even the difference maker. More importantly, he's the face, right? They don't have a quarterback like Sam Darnold or Daniel Jones or someone they're building around. It's Teddy Bridgewater, who we all like, but Teddy Bridgewater's on a $21 million deal, yep, right? The face of the Carolina Panthers is Christian McCaffrey. As much as we like Jamal Adams, he's not the face right now of this team, especially a team that's still rebuilding. And so if circumstances were a little bit different, I'd be on Jamal Adams' side to get paid now after your third year. I just can't co-sign it right now.
This team hasn't been to a playoff game in a decade, and it's been, you know, failed draft pick after sloppy free agent signing, Tremaine Johnson, go down the list.
Did that even last a year? That was
15? They cut him. He was horrendous.
Yeah.
He played and then he was hurt. He just took the money. Come on, take the money and run. That old Steve Miller song.
God, you don't see that much anymore, though. I mean, who was the guy with the Redskins? I can't remember his name now.
Oh, the big guy. Not Wilkerson. Wilkerson was Cincinnati.
I'm forgetting his name now. But you rarely see that anymore.
Yeah, or guy, no, you don't see that very much.
Where a guy gets
you
paid and is like, all right, I'm good, man.
I know who you're talking about. He just quit on the – he quit on himself and he quit on the team.
That's right.
But, you see, I'm from the school, and I know that this is counter to the minds of most people. Like, most people look at Jamal Adams and they say, he's an incredible asset. You do whatever it takes to retain him. Okay, that's one school of thinking. Yeah, the other school is to look at where you've been and understand there's still glaring deficiencies. Like, Teak, as much as they brought in, whether it's McGovern, whether it's Fant, you know, drafting Becton, they brought in six new offensive linemen, but really, we don't even know if any of these guys are good.
Yeah.
They're all one-year deals with the exception of McGovern, and I think Fant's got a second-year trigger maybe. It's a lot, and I like what Joe Douglas did. I you've got to stabilize the infrastructure of the team, something that his predecessor was horrendous at. He just flat out ignored it. Didn't even try. Didn't even draft offensive linemen early. It was a joke. Nor did he really draft receivers early. Their best receiver was an undrafted free agent out of Temple, Robbie Anderson, who wasn't even drafted. So the Jets have issues everywhere, and teams like the Jets and teams like the Browns and teams like the Lions and other teams, and a good example is Darius Slay. They said, you know what? We were pretty much bad with you. Darius Slay's a really good corner. We were pretty bad with you. You know what? We're going to trade you. We're going to try something different. I'm not saying that you pick up the phone and you initiate conversations with Jamal Adams trades. What I am saying is if your phone rings, pick it up, do your job. You never know whether it's Dallas or somebody else, Tampa, you never know. You never know when somebody is so desperate enough, whether it's to save their own behind if they're a GM and they have to win. If it's an owner's edict, we got to put people in the seats. We got to win now, do whatever it takes and sacrifice the future. If somebody calls, by the way, Jalen Ramsey got two first round picks back for the Jaguars and a fourth rounder.
Yeah.
So when people say, well, it's out there that maybe Dallas would give up a first and a third. I don't want a first and a third. I want more.
Here's the thing. Here's the other thing, BT, to think about. Joe Douglas has spent a good amount of time balancing the book, so to speak, like taking them out of salary cap purgatory and getting themselves right. I mean, you go look at their dead cap numbers. It's only Jakai Polite who's the only one that has a big number. Everybody else is like, it's less than $100,000 in dead cap money. So people that they've signed have worked out, at least on the cap, as far as the cap is concerned right now. And the last thing that you need to do, as much as I'm on Jamal Adams' side, I mean, don't misconstrue this as me saying Jamal Adams is not worth $15 million a year, which he absolutely is worth $15 million a year. That's not what I'm saying. But as much as the Jets, who haven't got there yet, you know what I mean, like achieved with the, you know, the level of success that they're at yet, until you get to that point, you got to be fiscally smart because you don't know what's going to happen, right? And so to pay him 3 years early, or really 2 years early than you have to, is not smart business. Now, what you do, to your point, BT, is that when people call and they start, you know, inching around because Jamal Adams put it out there, I want to be traded, or at least someone in his camp's like, trade me.
Yeah, he didn't say that, but you know what somebody, I mean. He definitely did not say
he
that
didn't,
directly.
But somebody around him is like, is putting that out there. If they're not going to pay me, then trade me. If you're Joe Douglas, you have to do your due diligence, because if it gets to the point where he's going to be disruptive, if he's going to be like Jalen Ramsey, Jalen Ramsey had legitimate issues, but after a while it was like, I think one was like the birth of his child, and another was like an injury, but it was minor. He should have played through it, and he didn't. And it's like, so you get into this disruptive, I'm like quasi holding out and messing up team chemistry, and this is not going to change because I don't want to be here. Jalen Ramsey did not want to be in Jacksonville. He was going to do everything he could, including just not playing, which disrupts the team and whatever you're trying to build. You got to have a trade partner. You got to have plan B. Plan A is Jamal Adams. You're going to play on your $3.5 million deal, and then we're going to play on you'll play on your $9 million fifth-year tag, and if things are work out right, we'll get you a long-term deal. But if not, you play on that $9 million tag, and then we'll sign you to this big deal. Mm-hmm. But if that doesn't work out, you better have a plan B, and plan B is go get me a first rounder, if not two, and other assets for one of the best young players in the defensive side of the game in football.
855-212-4227. If you're the Jets, if you're Joe Douglas, how would you play this? You know, I'm really curious what Jet fans think, and teams that might be inspired to go and acquire Jamal Adams, knowing that your team would then have to pay a safety, roughly $15 million a season. 1-855-212-4CBS. Just to add this, though, too, Teak, I mean, you're talking about a team that's got, last year, the 30th rated offensive line in terms of the run, the 31st rated run pass offensive line. Mm-hmm. You have no number one wide receivers. You know, maybe certainly kids they drafted this year, certainly. You hope that comes to fruition. But right now, there's no high-priced number one receiver like a DeAndre Hopkins or a Julio Jones. You don't have that. Mike Evans. There's no defensive end that's going to get you 13, 14, 15 sacks a season. You haven't had that since John Abraham. So your O-line stinks, right? You don't have a pass rusher, which you need in the NFL. You have no game-changing receivers as of yet. And you're going to pay a safety $15 million a year 2 years before you have to do it?
Yeah, no.
On what planet is that a smart move?
It's not at all. And so they shouldn't
wake
and
up, Jeff fans.
I just wake be up. Smart, really. Like, be smart. It's and I get this, man. Look, the timing sucks for Jamal Adams. It really does, because he's earned what he's asking for, or at least what his people are asking for. He's all pro twice, one time first team, one time second team. Been to the Pro Bowl twice. This is in 3 years. He's one of the most feared, impactful players that you see on the defensive side of the ball. And I say that because when you see players that are showing up in statistical categories that doesn't make sense, then you know you got a gamer, right? Jamal Adams had 6.5 sacks, including a sack fumble against my Giants last year. That it just he changes the game. Like,
yeah,
he's
does.
One of those players that you have to know where he is because he's so impactful on the field, which means he should be one of the highest paid guys. But the timing is wrong for him. One, because he has zero leverage in this. And two, the Jets aren't ready to pay him. If the Jets were good, then they would be ready to pay him. They're not good yet. So you can't pay guys when you're bad. It never works out, ever works
yep.
out.
Yep. Now, here's the one thing that I will add that I think the Jets need to balance here. And you know where I stand on. And again, I hope Jamal's a Jet for life, but you've got to make sure this works for the Jets, not the other way around. I mean, it's got to be an organizational thing first, and hopefully Jamal's happy with whatever extension it might be, but you can't just placate a player and pick up the pieces later. That's not how you build a sustainable winner.
No.
But the other thing the Jets are juggling right now, and I want you to tell me how important you think this is, because you lived in New York while you were playing. You live in New Jersey now. You played for the Giants. You're from Virginia, so you have multiple different perspectives, all right? And obviously you do this for a living with me. Do you think it's important, like perception, forget about Jamal Adams for a moment, but other players, other stars around the NFL, do you think it matters how the Jets are perceived? Because in my opinion, and I'm going to acquiesce to you here, obviously, yeah, but like to me, I'm saying, boy, you know, if you're picked sixth overall and you become a superstar pretty quick and your team doesn't want to pay you, that's probably not a place a lot of teams, a lot of players are going to want to be.
Yeah, but you can blame that on the collective bargaining agreement, BT. This was put in
place. Yeah, but the great organizations find a way around that, don't they? Like the Ravens do.
Yeah, but who did they pay, you know, when they didn't have to, right?
I mean, Eddie Reed got paid.
Yeah, but Ed Reed did. He got paid after he was the man.
Like, what about Polamalu from the Steelers? He got paid.
Same, but it was the same thing. If you go back and look at those deals, BT, they were the same thing, and they were on different rookie deals. You know what I mean? Like this is the Sam we refer to it as the Sam Bradford era, which is where you get drafted high, you just get paid for no reason, right? They were on different. They were in a different era, right? The new era of rookie contracts protects owners, it protects teams from having to pay guys simply based on where they were drafted. And what I mean by that is, like, a tackle was taken with the second or third pick in the draft, because back then it used to be slotted. So whatever, it didn't matter what position you played, wherever you were slotted, you got that number. So the tackle position, if you were taking a number three, was now all of a sudden, like, it was like the number was grossly elevated simply because a guy got drafted at number three. And so the next free agent tackle was like, well, this rookie got XYZ amount. I want that much. And so it was over inflating the number for positions. That's why they put in this new system, which caps it, but also gives you a fifth year option to hold on to a guy so he doesn't go into free agency on a low number. So, like, in the new era, you're just not seeing it. Like, guys aren't getting paid too far in advance, except for a guy like Christian McCaffrey, who is the second player in the history of the NFL to have 1,000 yards receiving and 1,000 yard rushing, and by the way, has 39 touchdowns in 3 years. 39! It's unbelievable. He's got 2,500 yards rushing and receiving in 3 years.
It's like he's playing in the Big 12.
Dude, it's seriously. It's like it's like he's stealing. You know, it's like it's easy for him, which is amazing, and why like every penny they gave him is worth it, because he's a good-looking kid. He does it the right way. He says all the right things. He's durable as hell. Like, he does everything right for the Carolina Panthers. It made sense for them to do that. And by the way, he wasn't asking to be paid.
No.
Right?
If he was, it was quiet.
Right. One of the mistakes I think that Jamal Adams' team has made is that they're asking to be paid early, and it's just not going to work. Like, no one's going to get on your side if your team's not a winner. And right now the Jets aren't a winner, so they can't do it.
All right. How should the Jets handle this? What would you do? 1-855-212-4227. It's 855-212-4227. We'll get to that. Get some calls. Also, possible rules tweak in the NFL. Is it good? Should they do it? And what I'm looking most forward to, watching a little golf tomorrow with the four stars, a little Lefty and Tiger, a little Peyton and Brady. The one thing that's going to absolutely be worth watching. We'll hit that coming up next. Hickey and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line on this Saturday. Hickey and Tierney is 1-855-212-4227. It's 855-212-4CBS, sponsored by Geico. Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that'll last your full policy term. Just visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. A little something on the Brady Manning Tiger Phil showdown tomorrow. I'm genuinely interested in that. I'll tell you why. Genuinely interested in that, though. It's going to be fun.
Why?
Well, I'll tell you why. It's called a tease.
Right. Oh, it's nice tease.
Exactly. You asked, so hopefully somebody else was curious around the world.
Saturday, 5:15.
I mean, come on. Is it 6 o'clock yet?
Exactly. Where's my scotch table?
No, the scotch. Oh, God. It's such a weird time, dude. We're coming out of the woods, the weeds, the sun.
Yeah, but below 100 in New York for the first time. That's the first time in a while, long, long time.
Who went down? You did?
No, New York.
I thought you said, yeah, of course. Oh,
below 100 deaths in New York for the first time.
Oh, man.
Which is amazing.
I know. It's been a very strange couple of months for all of us here. So we appreciate everybody. And obviously, you know, anybody that, you know, what we do, we just hope it's, listen, what we do, it's business, you know. But there's times like this where business continues, but most of the conventional elements of business get put on hold. I think it's just, you know, hopefully it's just been a nice little respite for you, whether you listen to Teak and I during the week, 3 to 6 Eastern, along with some of the other shows. Of course, Jim Rome and others. It's CBS Sports Radio, whether you do it locally here on The Fan. Just hang in there. We're almost out. We're getting there. So let me throw this by you. You ready?
Go ahead.
All right. So if you remember back in 2012, there was an article with the commissioner, and it was first floated. There was this 4th and 15 concept that seemed really wacky. It was in the article, and you know, it didn't gain a lot of traction initially, but every year, a little more, just kind of pops up like the whack-a-mole on the boardwalk. It just keeps popping up a little bit, and basically, it could be inevitable that it makes its way to the NFL, not as a replacement necessarily for the kickoff, not yet, but maybe more specifically as a twice-per-game alternative to the onside kick, which obviously is almost impossible to convert these days based on the running start, blah, blah, blah. Do you like this, the whole 4th and 15? Do you think this is this good for the game or bad?
You know what's interesting, BT? Before the new kickoff rule, I would have said no. I don't like it. But the new kickoff rule has made it impossible for a trailing team to get an onside kick. Without the run-up, and let's face this, this is a violent play. I used to be on the kickoff, or whatever, the hands team, they called it. And when early in my career, when I was on like that second line, I hated it, BT. Because you knew you were getting drilled. Like, even if the ball was nowhere near you, someone was headhunting. Someone was coming to get you, right? Mm-hmm. But you had to be there. Like, a guy like me who had good hands and could catch the football and was, like, aware of, like, spatial awareness with a ball in the air, bouncing in the air, I had to be there. Mm-hmm. I hated it because these dudes are running up from 10 yards away, and I'm standing still. The ball is kicked. They're on me before I can even think, and I'm looking at the football, and I know I'm getting drilled. So, it was violent. They had to legislate it out, which they did. But now, it is impossible to get it, right? It's fallen from 20 or so percent onside kick recovery percentage to less than 6. It's trending towards like 3.5, right, over the last couple of years. So, if you're behind, There's no recourse. Like, there's nothing you can do. I mean, you can try an onside kick, but there's a high probability you're not getting it. Now, if you put them on 4th and 15 from their own 25, it's dangerous, and it's like you're basically conceding at least another field goal if you miss it. But there are some players and some teams that have developed plays for this exact situation. And we talked about this earlier in the show, BT, Patty Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, they have like 6 plays for third and long, third and 15 or 20 plus. Sean Payton, I know, definitely has plays, you know, for third and 15 or so long. You know, there's teams that have it. And I think it will force teams to get creative on what to do in third and fourth and long to go situations, which is good for the game. So now I'll say yes, I do want to see this because the onside kick is irrelevant at this point.
I'm okay with it. I think what's going to probably happen is it'll be implemented much like the pass interference review.
Mm-hmm.
We'll throw it in there for 1 year trial.
What people do. Yep.
Yep. They'll reconvene after next year. They'll take all the fan reaction, the data. They'll go from there. They either implement it for good or they just whack it like they did the ability to review pass interference. My only concern is, I just hope they're really judicious in how they hand out the penalties during these plays. Because if we get to a point.
That's a good point.
I mean,
it's
you
a
know,
great point.
If it's policed the way.
I didn't even think about it. I didn't think about where you're going. I know
you
where
have
you're going.
To. If it's policed the way conventional passes down the field are policed in 2020 or 2019 more specifically, and obviously a couple of years before that. I mean, who the hell wants to see on a 4th and 15 a very debatable flag thrown and a team that just gave up a score now stays on the field because there's a decent chance they got the call wrong?
Yeah, pass interference call.
Pass interference.
Which is now not reviewable.
Correct. Correct. And even if it was, they never changed it. But yeah, I hear you.
You know what
there's no recourse. literally.
I didn't even think of that, BT. You know, but that's definitely going to happen. I mean, I think, look, we have to see it for a year. And then after the year, we're going to have to, you know, turn around and say, how many of these were achieved because of the play and how many were achieved because of penalty? And if it's more of them were because of the penalty, then it's not worth it, right? Because you can create a penalty. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, good wide receivers are really good at it. You get down the, you put pressure on a corner or a safety or whoever is covering you. You get to the, you know, the designated spot. You make a move, and then you basically run into them yourself and create contact. And then all of a sudden, it's the first down. Now, the other question is, BT, is incidental contact, you know, viable here as well? Because incidental contact, which is only 5-yard penalty, it's an automatic first down.
That's true.
So that's true. Yeah, I didn't even think about the penalty aspect of this, but that's a big consideration.
Here's something else they have to think about, part of the unintended consequences of the implementation of this rule. If I score a touchdown on Tiki and I'm losing and I go on sides the old way.
It's football. You know you'll be losing, fool.
Probably. Yes. No, probably. Yes, I would be losing. And Tiki recovers the onsides kick. And, you know, even if I have, you know, 2 timeouts, whatever it might be, where they're going to recover the ball is nowhere near the end zone. So meaning that, I guess what I'm saying is, you're going to see more points, and that would affect gambling. And let me tell you why.
I see. Yeah, I hear you. Because a regular onside kick, you're getting the ball on the negative side of the 50, usually.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
As opposed to in this scenario, you're getting the ball basically
25.
The point blank.
Think about this. If I go for it, it's for my own 25. If I throw a 17-yard pass that's broken up, my opponent gets the ball back at my 25. If there's 2 timeouts or even 8 timeouts, depending upon how much time is there, I'm going to utilize the timeout or 2, and there's a chance that based on the timing and the down and distance, the opponent, who would not have ordinarily been inspired to go for 3 if they were beyond midfield, obviously,
yeah.
You punt it and you let it run out, they might kick the 3, and that's gonna change some spreads.
You're bringing up some really important points. That's a good one. Now, not that we like care about.
I care.
I know you do, but I mean, like the non-gambling fan or the teams themselves. Not that they necessarily care about the spreads, but that will get affected. I mean, think of all the bad beats that have happened over the last couple of years, BT, with teams doing this whole throw-around thing. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, we got 1 play left. We know we can't score.
Yeah.
Let's do the whole lateral thing, and it ends up getting, you know, picked up by the other team and running for a score.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, that's happened at least 8 times over the last 3 years or so. Uh-huh. So, I mean, the bad beats happen, but now you'd almost be setting teams up for the bad beat.
Oh, Scott Van Pelt's segment would write itself. You didn't have to do any research.
That's right.
You just throw a net over any given Sunday, guaranteed.
Now we get the onside kick bad beat of the week.
Uh-huh.
A different whatever. I don't even know what they were going to call it, because it's not really an onside kick anymore. What do you call it?
I think it's the onside kick alternative.
Yes.
I believe it's called.
Yes.
855-2. I'm sure they'll probably hopefully come up with a little something catchier than that. 855-212-4227 is our number. Lester's in California. Lester is on Tiki and Tierney. Lester, what's happening, buddy? How you doing today?
Hey, guys. Happy Memorial Day weekend.
You too.
Thanks for taking the call. Hey, real quick on top of this, when it comes to this new potential rule change on that 4th and 15, I think a couple things. You're right regarding the penalty situation. I think it should be either a 4th and 20 because offenses are too good these days.
Yeah.
They really are. And the game already benefits the offense as it is. The one rule change I think they need to consider the NFL is, instead of that spot foul, you make it a 4th and 15, because, like I said, it's just too easy these days. Go back to use the college rules. How could you give a spot foul when it's to be a questionable pass interference call down the field and it's automatically 20, 25 yards downfield? So that's one rule I think they need to change, or make it into an intentional. It could be judgmental, but make it into an intentional foul. So if the ref thinks it's an intentional foul, then it's a spot foul. If it's unintentional, then it's a 4th and 15 when it comes to PI. What do you guys think?
BT's thanks brought that call, up buddy. A couple of times. Yeah, thanks for the call. Like, it's probably the most confounding call in football. Ugh. Because some coordinators and some wide receiver quarterback combinations just know how to do it, man. They know how to get a fourth and long or a third and long, it's usually third and long, a third and long penalty play, right? I wouldn't be surprised if somebody even call it that. It's a penalty play. We know we're going to get a pass interference on this call. At least there's a high probability that we're going to. And all of a sudden, you see an unconvertible third down situation turn into a 46-yard gain. And it's just, it's unfair, right? College does it right. Make it 15 yards. But if it is egregious because you want to keep it unique for the NFL, like if someone just tackles a guy 50-yard downfield because he's beaten, you know he's going to give up a touchdown, then make that a spot foul. But absent that, yeah, I agree. It's got to be 15 yards.
I mean, the more I think about this, I would vote nay. Again, fully understanding it's probably going to be implemented this year. It's a little too gimmicky. The unintended consequences, as I said before, they're just too far-reaching for me. And forget about the gambling. I mean the other aspects, too.
Yeah.
It just seems a little arena league-ish for me. I don't know. There's got to be something better than this. But listen, again, it's coming. I believe it's coming. I don't think I like this. The more I just, there's too many problems.
Yeah, you're right.
You know?
And you pointed out a bunch of them.
Yeah, I did. 855-212-4CBS. Get some more calls on this. And also, what's the most intriguing, aside from who's going to win, intriguing aspect of the whole golf showcase tomorrow with Tiger and Phil and Brady and Manning? I got something for you, something I'm legitimately interested in watching. Tell you what it is. All right, Tiki and Tierney wrapping up. Full phones. Our buddy Chris Moore is coming up next. So let's get back to it and see what you think about this possible 4th-and-15 rule, I guess. Whatever the heck they're calling it. I don't know. It's weird. But Danny is in Long Island. Danny's on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What up, Dan?
Good afternoon, man. This is my first Memorial Day in 28 years of being a father. I'm not standing on a baseball field right now. So new world.
Oh, yeah. That's sad, and like man. It's good because you're around your family and everything, but I hear you.
No,
man,
that's sad. You're with
I'd
the
rather
family
be waving my son around third base. That's close enough to
that's
the,
a good
to
point.
The family. Instead of watching a documentary on how to make French fries, this is where we're living. So listen,
Danny.
The problem, sometimes the rule change in the NFL, like the moving back the extra point was a great thing. You went from a yawn play which nobody cared about, you got up to get a new beer, to a 35-yard, we saw that. People miss those. Mm-hmm. Now you take the onside kick, which is probably because it happens at the most tense time of the game. If you do it when it's a surprise, it's a great call, the high-intensity play, and you're trying to replace it due to injury, which I understand completely. And it's hard to do because just the dramatics. And how about we let the punter come on the field, and he does an onside punt that's got to go 15, 20 yards in the air, before anyone could touch it. So guys have a chance to get down there to make a play. You know what I'm saying? Because the problem now is that the guys are in a standing still position like sprinters. The ball goes 10 yards. Nobody can run as fast as the ball bounces. So the players have – now, if you got the guy comes out, he has to punt it. It has to go at least 10, 15 yards in the air. At least maybe there's a chance that some guy can run down there, make a play. I'm just spitting this in a wind because you took out a great play and you're trying to replace it with gimmicks.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I appreciate
interesting.
It, Dan.
And
thanks,
it's an interesting suggestion. The reason it'll never happen though is because I used to return punts, so I know this feeling. When if a punter punts a ball and there's people, three like eight guys running down on converging on wherever this punt is headed. There's going to be serious contact.
Exactly.
That's a concussion waiting to happen. I used to be fearful when a guy had to run, 45 yards to hit me. Now you guys are going to run 10 yards and knock me out? Yeah, that's why it won't happen.
It's good try, Danny. But,
yeah, I agree. Great try, but just not going to happen.
I feel you on the baseball stuff, too. Hang in there, Danny. Mike is in New Jersey. What's up, Mike? How you doing today?
Hey, how are you today?
Good.
Nice rainy day, huh?
Yeah.
I was thinking on the 4th-and-15 with the onside kick, replacing onside kick, if the defense stops them, what are the chances that they can then actually do a regular kickoff so that way the defense wouldn't start with the ball on the 25-yard line?
Hmm. Yeah, but then it's not – but then everybody would try it. It's got to be punitive if you fail.
Yeah, there's no penalty.
Otherwise, it's like a screen pass in terms of execution. Not a big deal if I miss. You've got to know. Thanks for the call, Mike. You have to know, Teak, you're with me. You have to know.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, I'm going to try this, and there's a very good chance if I'm not successful that because of the spot of the ball at my own 25, it's going to become a two-score game, easy with a field goal game. So you have to know that this is lights out if you don't get it done.
Yeah.
That's
by the way, the, third and 15. There's not a ton of evidence statistically, empirically, for fourth and 15, because most teams do not go for it on fourth and 15 unless it's desperation time, and we know that it's just failing. But third and 15, I'll use as a proxy for right now, is converted about 17% of the time. So regular down and distance, third and 15, it's about 17% completion percentage.
Okay. And what's the onside? About 8%?
Conversion percentage. Right now, the onside kick with the new rule, first year was 6%. This year was 3.4%, BT. Right, so it's just not convertible at all. The old onside kick was about 20% converted.
Okay. Good stuff. Richard's in Manhattan. Richard, Tiki, and Tierney. Go ahead, Rich.
Hi, Brandon. Tiki. Tiki, I was at your first game, August 31st, 1997, against Philly.
Against the Eagles. We won that one, too.
Yeah, unfortunately, that was the day that Princess Di was killed.
Ah, that's right. That's right. Yep. I told BT that story.
Fellas, I've been watching NFL. I'm older than you guys. 60 years. NFL football. NFL, Goodell is missing the whole thing. Return regular season games overtime to sudden death. The two greatest games I'll never forget, the 67 Baltimore-Green Bay game with Tom Matte. Ray Scott did the game. All he kept saying was sudden death. The Ed Podolak Kansas City-Miami game, Kurt Gowdy did. 5-4 overtimes, whatever it went into. It was unbelievable. First of all, you have sudden death. The coin flip. You don't go out for a sandwich. The coin flip is must-see TV. You don't worry about the teams deferring or taking the ball. They win the coin flip, and they want the ball. The players will love it because they want to get it on the field and off the field as fast as possible.
No, Rich, slow down. You got to slow down for one sec. The players would hate it because it's too random.
I don't know, though, BT.
It's too random.
I don't know, BT. Good call, though, by the way.
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate the enthusiasm, buddy.
But, BT, I don't know.
I don't like it.
Because what we're seeing – in games that are meaningful, like forget the regular season game where there's like two maybe mediocre teams playing and it basically goes to a draw. And it's like, all right, whatever. Right. But in the postseason where the better teams are playing and you have overtime, right, it seems like whoever like Tom Brady, and he's the perfect example. Like, we knew this against the who did they play? God, was it? The Falcons, right? And was that the one that went into overtime? I'm forgetting now. It was a game in overtime. Maybe it was a playoff game. I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was against the Chiefs. Yeah, I think it was against the Chiefs. They go into overtime.
I'm just yesing you to death at this point.
You know you are. I know you are. But I think it was against the Chiefs. They go into overtime. Like, you're waiting for the coin flip. Because you know whoever wins the coin flip is winning the game. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so – I think there's something to that, though.
Well, I mean, there's urgency to
control. There's an urgency not to go in overtime.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I just fundamentally oppose anything where I devote a significant amount of time in the pursuit of victory or the result, whatever that might be.
I can't remember.
I know. And then at the most influential point, the randomness is inserted and everything is taken out of my control. I wouldn't want that as a player. I would hate that as a fan. Not feeling it. No, I don't like it. Let me give you something on Brady. You ready for tomorrow?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, listen, I'm not here to tell
anybody. Brady's getting torched, by the way.
What?
Brady is getting torched. Peyton Manning's going to crush him.
What?
I'm just telling you. It's going to happen.
Okay.
I'm just telling
you. Why are you coming up with this?
Because Tom Brady is practicing at Berkeley Prep, which is, by the way, one of my brother's daughter's schools, is practicing at Berkeley Prep with his boys, trying to get up acclimated to this new offense he's going to run under Bruce Arians. He is not playing golf, BT. Peyton Manning? Playing a lot of golf right now.
Okay.
Because he played with my brother. I'm just telling you.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And that's part of the reason why Tiger and Peyton are minus 200.
That's right.
It's Tiger's course, and Peyton's been playing a lot. I got you. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and say tomorrow's going to be like Augusta or the back nine at a U.S. Open or the Ryder Cup. I mean, obviously, it's not going to be like that at all. But you know what I'm really looking forward to watching?
Go ahead.
I'm going to really be interested to see, to forget about Tiger and Phil, from Brady and Peyton's perspective, two all-time transcendent sporting icons. I want to see how they process and compartmentalize different pressure than what we're used to watching. Like, their environment tomorrow is outside of their norm. Yeah, they've all played. They played great courses. They've got gazillions in the bank. They can walk on any course in the world. But it's a little different when this is actually an event, a match. And I want to see just how they handle a pressure that is foreign to the stage that they're used to. I know they're both good golfers, but one of those guys is going to be a little wobbly tomorrow. And I want to see how he handles that pressure.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
You're not hiding. It's not like that NBC tournament out in Lake Tahoe, the Lake Tahoe NBC tournament, where they're just like, they'll cut to someone else.
Yeah. I mean, if you're shooting an eight, they'll just go to the other hole and,
you're right.
They'll forget about you.
This is you, dude. You're putting it out. Right? You better figure it out. If you've lost it and you're off the tee in the woods somewhere, you better figure it out because the camera's staying right on you. That's a good point, man. Because that kind of pressure is hard, man.
You can't replicate that. You're not used to that.
It's not the same. And there's no teammate to rely on. It's not like, oh, I screwed that up, but I'm still going to be successful anyways, which happens in football, right? It's like, oh, I screwed this up, but I'm still going to find a way to make it work. Golf is not that way, man. It's a good point.
Thank you. Well, listen, Teak, I talked to you a lot this week. I'll talk to you a lot more on Monday. Looking forward to it. Good job, brother. Chris Moore is coming up next, so good to have Chris back, part of the crew. He does a good show. Check it out. Hang around for Chris. Got Ryan Hickey doing his thing. Appreciate you, Ryan. Erica Herskowitz, always good on the updates. Have a great Saturday. What do you know? The sun is out. Daddy's got to get
the car. Happy Memorial Day, people.
I'm going to the range. See ya.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.